Hello and welcome to Bond Vigilantes TV. Today we're going to be talking about emerging markets corporate debt, and for that we have with us M&G fund manager Charles de Cansona. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Elena.
Today, and over the past week, we've seen so much comment about Turkey and Argentina and Brazil. But far, let's talk about emerging markets corporate debt. What can you tell us about the asset class? Which countries are more relevant or sectors?
So first is a very fast growing asset class. It's about $2.1 trillion in size just for EM corporate in hard currency. Just to put that into perspective, this is just about the size of the US high yield market. So it's a big market. Half of the market are actually quasi-sovereign names, which are basically corporates majority owned by their government. In terms of sectors, I think importantly, financials are a third of the index. It's followed by oil and gas and telcos.
Some of those companies suffer from the sell-off in emerging markets in general that we saw in the first half because of the trade wars, because of the rising dollar, the election in Italy creating some instability. Do you think they suffer indiscriminately, that they, some of them should not have been affected so much by these changes?
So, right, it's been a difficult first half of the year for EM corporates because valuation angle, credit spreads were actually quite tight on a historical basis. So we started the year at tight valuation, excuse me. Then we have, we basically had more geopolitical risks since the beginning of the year, and that has created more volatility. Add to this idiosyncratic stories, Argentina, Turkey, you ended up with the perfect setup for a repricing in the market. Obviously, your Asia, for instance, which is more investment grade, performed better than other areas of EM, and in general, EM high yield underperformed. However, I think it's fair to say that it's been an indiscriminate repricing for all EM corporates.
Do you see all these situations that were still ongoing, like the Russian sanctions and the Turkish situation? Do you think they will evolve, continue in the second half, or do you expect the second half a little bit calmer?
I don't think the second half will be calmer in terms of geopolitical risk. Turkey specifically faces major challenges on the macro side with current account deficit, double-digit inflation. That has an impact on corporates because many corporates will actually struggle to meet their dollar debt obligations. Following the fall of the Turkish lira, that has a direct impact on the banking system because most banks, actually dollar lending accounts for up to 40% of the Turkish banking sector. So it has an implication for the broader corporate and financial sector. In Turkey, it's very difficult to know what's going on because you also have the geopolitical risk with the US. If anything, last week, following a call with the finance minister, we found the tone fairly orthodox, and he ruled out, for instance, capital controls. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know exactly what's going to happen in Turkey, but I think it's fair to say geopolitical risk will continue going forward. Russia is slightly different from a fundamental angle. We're less worried as long as oil price remains elevated. The real risk is U.S. sanctions on Russia's sovereign debt.
And if we're taking a look around the world, China, Latin America, Eastern Europe, and after the sell-off, do you see pockets of value? Do you see opportunities? Some companies that were hit but shouldn't have been hit, that you think this now is interesting?
So in terms of the outlook for the second half, I think because we've had a 75 to 100 bips repricing in terms of credit spreads in the hard currency space, I think it's starting to be a little bit more interesting, and there are pockets of value, in particular because corporate fundamentals continue to be resilient. I expect them to continue to stabilize or improve. Default rates should remain relatively low at around 3% for the second half of the year. So given background, you basically have opportunities like China high yield is a good example. After the repricing in the China property space early July, we actually found some names attractive. Quasi-sovereign names in the oil and gas sector, in particular in Latin America, I'm not referring to Venezuela there, are actually attractive. So you have areas of value that have emerged because valuation has actually repriced in the market.
And as an emerging market debt analyst, you look at the world and entirely. Is that the most fun part of your job? What's so exciting about covering emerging market debt other than following companies in Europe, Japan, or the US?
Well, I think the big difference, in my view, is the fact that domestic politics, geopolitics, are equally important to financial statements. So it basically makes you go beyond the traditional credit analysis where you analyze, you know, the balance sheet, meet with management. You need to take the macro risk and the sovereign risk in general into account. And again, I think it's equally important. And finally, what I love most is really the fact that it's never boring. There is always something happening. Navigating through Turkish banks to China property to LATAM oil and gas, telcos in Africa is actually quite stimulating as a day-to-day job. So, yeah, I feel very lucky to do this.
Well, Charles, you definitely have brought the emerging market corporate debt to life. Never boring. And thanks so much for making that possible today with us. And for everybody, please don't miss Charles' blog on bondvigilantes.com for more insight and analysis of emerging market corporate debt and where to find opportunities. So stay with us. We'll be back next week. And Charles, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elena.